Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, September 9th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The International Monetary Fund completes its second review of Zimbabwe's staff-monitored program, praising Harare for its plans to introduce economic reforms and re-engagement efforts with the West.
And we are pleased in particular that the authorities have successfully implemented most of the program so far, in the sense the second review.
A crisis in Zimbabwe coalition says gains made during the inclusive government's era are faster being eroded as the government struggles to get a grip on the economy.
We have come to the conclusion that Zimbabwe has restored the progress. We are facing possibilities that we might regress.
And more than 500 women of Zimbabwe Arise members staged demonstrations at the local government ministry offices in Harare today, protesting against what they say is continued harassment of vendors in the city.
These stories and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The International Monetary Fund completed its second review of the staff-monitored program, an informal agreement between Harare and the IMF, praising the Zimbabwean government for economic reforms and coming up with plans to settle its debts and with international financial institutions under difficult economic conditions. Ivan Chifera reports from the capital.
Addressing a joint press conference with Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, IMF Head of Delegation Dominic Farnese praised Harare for intensifying its re-engagement efforts with the international financial community. He said Zimbabwe developed a debt strategy to resolve its external arrears to international financiers, including the African Development Bank. Harare intends to seek support from creditors at a dedicated stakeholders meeting to be held on the sidelines of this year's IMF annual meetings in Lima, Peru, to pay its debts and inject fresh funds into the economy.
And we are pleased in particular that the authorities have successfully implemented most of the program so far, in the sense that the second review, we are a third review based on December number, and we can say now that the authorities have respected all the quantitative target for end of June, all what we call structural benchmarks, both that tell us whether structural reforms are advancing for that review.
Farnese commended the government for its plans to rationalize public expenditure and reduce public sector employment costs, adding reforms will require time and deeper efforts before financial impact is felt on the economy. Minister Chinamasa meanwhile said Zimbabwe will send a team to Brussels, Paris and Berlin to explain its debt strategy before the Lima meeting next month. The team will be headed by Reserve Bank Governor John Mangudya.
This is essentially to sensitize the creditors on the economic situation that we are confronting us, as well as the strategies that we are hoping to promote in Lima. The end game of all this engagement is to clear the arrears.
Mangudya said he was looking beyond the staff-monitored program and resumption of financial support from the international financial institutions.
So we are now looking for targets for end of December so that we perform very well, so that at least we can open the doors for Zimbabwe to renew international financing.
Zimbabwe's external debt and arrears currently hover around $8 billion. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Crisis in Zimbabwe coalition today said gains made during the inclusive government's tenure are being eroded daily as the country struggles to deal with economic stagnation, resulting in massive loss of jobs and firm closures. Patricia Mudadigwa reports.
Speaking at the launch of the coalition's first edition of the ZimGov Barometer, which tracks the performance of the government's implementation of policies that enhance democratic and economic progress, researcher Tulani Muskelando said many of the gains recorded during the unit government are being eroded by the country's stagnation.
We have come to the conclusion that Zimbabwe has restored the progress. In fact, we are facing possibilities that we might regress, we might backslide.
The report, which focuses on public accountability, constitutionalism, electoral reforms, and the economy, says flawed elections and lack of democratic reforms can be blamed for Zimbabwe's current situation. The coalition says the government should urgently align the country's laws with the new constitution.
Then we have also been looking at issues of constitutionalism, where we have said that there is no political will to implement the constitution.
Commenting on the crisis in Zimbabwe coalition report, economist Farai Maveza said, for him, Zimbabwe is not stagnant, but regressing.
I find it surprising that they say Zimbabwe is still stagnant, because I thought we were actually going backwards. But they have the data, so maybe they know what they're saying. But on the ground, if you look at what we've experienced, it seems that we are moving backwards and not stagnating.
Former Economic Planning and Investment Promotion Minister and the Inclusive Government, Tapuwa Mashakada, likened the economy to a frozen corpse, adding there's an urgent need for fresh capital to be injected into the economy.
If you look at all fundamentals, from growth, deflation, unemployment, poverty, infrastructural decay, and corruption, those are telltale signs of a moribund economy, which is very difficult to resuscitate.
Crisis in Zimbabwe coalition said it is currently in the process of producing what it says is an alternative economic blueprint to Zim Asset, the government's economic blueprint, which they say has failed to deliver. Theirs will be called Zim Smart and will provide possible solution to the country's economic problems, according to the coalition. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I'm Patricia Mdadigwa.
More than 500 members of civic rights group Women of Zimbabwe Arise staged demonstrations at the Ministry of Local Government offices in Harare today, protesting against what they say is continued harassment of vendors in the city and confiscation of their goods by the municipal police. WOSA official Magodonga Mahlangu tells reporter Sandakile Mhlanga her group handed over a petition outlining their demands to Local Government Minister Xavier Kasukuwere's office.
Here in Harare, the specific reason why we take it as a minister is that there is an issue to do with the first class regression cover, where apparently the goods that are looted from the poor people are given to her so that she could do her campaigns. So what is the minister to answer is why, in fact, the looted things are taken to benefit the first lady and in her campaigns. They cannot loot from poor people who are trying to make ends meet for patronage reasons.
But the local authorities say they have measures in place to reallocate vendors to designated vending sites. Do you think there are better alternatives?
We can't be patient when people are starving. These are people's lives that we're talking about. It's a matter of agency. They are allocating people in outskirts where there's no people who can buy it. These people are not selling so that they can just pass in the front and be exposed to all weather elements. They want to sell so that they can make ends meet and feed their families and take their families to school. It's like taking someone and putting them in the bush and saying, who's going to go there? No one's going to go there. So it's a nice cycle. That's why we are saying it's not good enough. Go back to the drawing board, think afresh.
If you can briefly summarize for us some of your demands.
Firstly, we want the accountability of related things. Where are they taken to? That is in Harare. In Harare also was an issue that is with the private company that collects fees from the vendors, and then the city council is collecting, so they double collection. And also we want the vending spaces to be where it's profitable for people. This is the only way that people can earn a living in Zimbabwe. It's not their fault that there was bad governance that resulted in the economic decline. So people should not be made to suffer for this.
That was WOSA official Magodonga Mahlangu on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
Some Zimbabweans have criticized the former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's move to launch a detailed manifesto without forming a political party first, saying this literally translates to putting the cart before the horse. They say Mrs. Mujuru, who was ejected from the ruling ZANU-PF party with several top party officials for allegedly attempting to topple 91-year-old President Mugabe, should immediately come out in the open before she loses a lot of supporters. Others also claim that she's being pushed into forming a party by veteran politicians, including expelled former ZANU-PF member Rugare Gumbo, dumped war veteran Jabulani Sibanda, and several others. Mrs. Mujuru told Studio 7's Blessing Zulu the day she was fired by Mr. Mugabe earlier this year that she will die in ZANU-PF.
Have you accepted the order by the president to step down?
I am not a fighting character. My background, I'm a trained person. When you receive an order from your senior, you carry it out right through. If you have anything to question about that order, you find your way of questioning it. I signed for that letter. This morning, I even wrote a letter of acknowledgement and even thanking him for his immense contribution in my life. And that's how we were taught in ZANLA. That's how we were brought up in ZANU. PF.
What about your position in the party? Are you going to remain a member of ZANU-PF or you are considering opting out?
I am, mind you, I don't know any other party other than ZANU-PF. And that's my party. And I will die in ZANU-PF.
Those were the words of Mrs. Joyce Mujuru earlier this year. For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached Gumbo and independent political commentator George Mkwananzi. Mkwananzi says Mrs. Mujuru's silence on forming a party is retrogressive.
It's quite surprising that these guys have decided to launch their economic blueprint before they have launched the party itself. However, it would appear like it's one of the clearest signs that they mean business, that they are going ahead and form a party. It wouldn't make sense for anyone to go into such pains and come up with an economic blueprint when you do not have a vehicle with which to get into power and implement that economic policy. So I think it's only fair to give them the benefit of doubt that they think what was a priority to them as a party is to start with a solution to the crisis, you know, the economic crisis that Zimbabwe is going through at the moment. We will wait and see if they really mean to operationalize all their current plans.
So, Mr. Gumbo, for how long are people going to wait for this kind of announcement?
Well, I know that is the question that is being asked time after time. I've been bombarded by people wanting to know. As we have done in the past, as we did with the blueprint, we just want to take our time to do things carefully. We don't want to make up this thing like other political parties are doing. So we will tell you as soon as we are ready. And as I said, we are making all the logistical arrangements to ensure that we make a part. And I just want to say, the reason why we started with the manifesto is because we wanted people to understand who we are, what we are doing, and where we are going. Forming a party is not a difficult thing. You can just go and make an announcement. But constructing a viable economic policy or a manifesto is not the easy
part. Mr. Mkwananzi, I think you can clearly hear what Mr. Gumbo is saying. People have to wait a little bit.
Mrs. Mchuru is an unwilling horse that is being forced to pull, you know, a cart. And the likes of Gumbo are the ones who are probably trying to whip her to accept that responsibility, and she may not be ready. Because from the look of it, she has done very little to indicate that she really wants to avail herself for the leadership of the country. So if she wants to challenge for leadership, let her do so. The strings that are attached here to ZANU-PF have broken. So she must come out of the shell and show that she is really for the job. Otherwise, people will lose confidence in her. Politics is a game where you have to harvest opportunities that are available. If you wait too long, the opportunities may melt away and fizzle out. And by the time you think you want to take advantage of the opportunity, they may not be there.
Mr. Kumbo, your reaction to that?
We are taking our time because we are living in dangerous times, and we have to be extremely, extremely careful in our craft, what we want to do.
That was Rugare Gumbo, spokesman for former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, speaking with Studio 7. You also heard from George Mkwananzi, an independent political commentator. Both were speaking with Gibbs Dube of Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. The former vice president spelled out her vision, mission, and strategy for a better Zimbabwe in the manifesto titled Blueprint to Unlock Investment and Leverage for Development.
All is not well at Town House with Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni and his MDCT councillors at odds after he allegedly called them functionally illiterate and uneducated. The councillors say the mayor should be censured by the party and are demanding an apology. Manyenyeni told Jonga Kandemiri he said voters should elect knowledgeable councillors so they do not find it difficult to understand council business.
The misunderstanding arises from my remarks in which I said 2018 going forward, let the political parties ensure that certain specialty skills areas are represented among the elected councillors. And I identify areas that are technical, accounting, finance, artisans, engineers, those sort of people, because they are core to what we do as council. And my feeling is that those skills are required to take the city or the cities forward. I have no regrets in that call. What I regret is the pain and the hurt and the ill feeling and the low esteem that may have been suffered by some of my colleagues.
Do you think this will not affect your working relationship?
It's currently affected, but I see us riding past the storm. There's already some attempts to make sure that we proceed with the necessary teamwork.
Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni in Harare. But the councillors are having none of it, as Peter Moyo Southerton councillor explains.
Look, MDC is a party of people who are disciplined. I can say disciplined cadres. We don't act that way. We are just showing our displeasure to the party to call him and discipline him and rein him. Because right now, he is causing confusion by making careless statements. Because if he is saying councillors are uneducated, they are illiterate, that is incorrect. 95% of our councillors are Form 4 people. Almost 10 or 15%, they are degreed people. You look at Trinos Moye as an example, who was the managing director of a hotel. You look at Timbanga, he's one of the best leaders in this country in terms of his education. You look at the likes of Mpama Wande, who is the lecturer. So I don't know where he's coming from. You look at Charumbira. Charumbira is studying law at the University of Zimbabwe.
So how do you view your future relationship with the mayor?
We don't have any bad blood with him, neither do we hate him. What we want is for him to understand the role of council.
That was Southerton Councillor Peter Moyo speaking to Jonga Kanembiri from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
The MDC Renewals Inauguration Congress begins in Harare.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
European Commission Chief Jean-Claude Juncker called today for EU member states to resettle 160,000 refugees escaping from war in Syria and elsewhere, but is running into opposition from countries objecting to mandatory quotas.
Britain's Queen Elizabeth made history today, surpassing her great-grandmother to become Britain's longest ruling monarch.
And China has axed Bon Jovi's first ever planned concert in China, with some media reports saying the cancellation was due to what officials saw as the American rock band's past statements in support of the Dalai Lama. Living in a foreign country is always difficult. The loneliness can be daunting. So to deal with such issues and help each other integrate well into the American culture, Southern Africans in the United States formed an organization that helps empower them in various ways, including networking. Recently, the Southern African community in the United States celebrated 3 years of existence with such pomp and ceremony, as our reporter gives us more.
The fashion show, which was held in the city of Silver Spring in Maryland, showcased mostly designer wear by upcoming Southern African designers. It was dubbed the Together as One fashion show. Oge Oziakoli from Nigeria was one of the models.
So there was a number of designers from Malawi, Angola, Botswana, South Africa, Namibia. It was a wonderful show. All the designers had great designs, jewelry, clothing, so it was great to be a part of that. You know what? I love Africa, so I love Nigeria. I love everything that has to do with Africa. So when I heard about this show, I saw the beautiful designs. I just knew that I wanted to be a part of it.
South African national Siyanda Masiza is a co-founder of SAKU.
I see growth. I see new people. I see lots more community in it.
Ian Mulenga from Malawi is one of the many people who attended both events.
The event was so awesome. It was really very exciting. It's really exciting, so professional, well organized.
When Leslie Masugu, who turned up for the Zambian soccer team at the event, says SAKU has united Southern Africans in the United States.
All I can say, I can offer is encouragement that even economically, Zimbabweans are not very well economically. You know the situation back home. But as you know, Zimbabweans were very resilient people. I would encourage each and every one of us to just keep pushing until we get there one day.
Most of the people who attended the festivities said they were satisfied with the organization of the event. All 9 Southern African community countries were represented by their ambassadors or their representatives at the fashion show. Looking forward, Masiza says they hope to organize a bigger and more vibrant event next year as the group continues to grow.
That was our in-house reporter Chris Gande reporting from the SAKU event held here in Maryland.
The MDC Renewal Team's inaugural Congress kicked off in Harare today with the party's National Management Committee, National Working Council and the General Council holding meetings. Blessing Zulu caught up with the party spokesman Jacob Mafume, who says the event dubbed Reclaiming Zimbabwe will usher in a new brand of politics and give Zimbabweans hope for the future.
We are delighted with the progress that we are making for our Congress. We have delegates that we have both meet. We have both a lot of preparations that we have put in towards this event. People are coming. We are expecting between 5,000 to 7,000 delegates from all corners of the country. This is our inaugural Congress. We are expecting to come out with a new name, which is likely to be People's Democratic Party. We are likely to get dignitaries from civic society, from political parties in the region, and also from other political parties in the country so that they can monitor what is happening.
How many people are you expecting?
We are expecting about 7,000 to 5,000 people to come up. We have also prepared our policy documents so that people take home a publication. We have a publication called HOPE, which is a comprehensive economic, what we call a holistic economic program that will save Zimbabwe. As you know, among our leaders, we have Tendai Biti, who was the best finance minister of Africa at one point. He has crafted, together with others, a document that will assist this economy. We also have a political roadmap which talks to coalition building in terms of where we want to go as a country for us to remove the oppressive regime of Robert Mugabe.
That was MDC Renewal spokesman Jacob Mafume speaking to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
And in sports news, Zimbabweans were today celebrating swimmer Kirsty Coventry's exploits at the All Africa Games in the Congo yesterday. Aquatic Union President Mary Kloppers says Zimbabweans are impressed by Coventry's performance at the Games. Coventry bagged the country's first medal at the Games so far after securing gold in the 100 meters backstroke last night. Kloppers says this will inspire other youngsters hoping to take up swimming as a profession. She spoke to us earlier on.
We're very excited about it. She's on track. For us, that just means that she's on track. She's achieving what she needs to be achieving. And we are just behind her 100% in her request to go and conquer at Rio again.
What impact do you think this gold medal will have, especially for those that are thinking of taking up swimming?
Kirsty is idolized in Zimbabwe. I mean, and this is just going to bring her achievements and the possibilities for any future stars to the fore again. So it is fantastic for our sport. And we owe a lot to Kirsty for her contribution in that way.
Are you then preparing a lavish spread for her when she does complete her tour in Brazzaville? Or what have you got lined up for her?
She's actually going straight back to America, straight back into her training routine. So she won't be coming back via Zimbabwe. But whenever she is in Zimbabwe, we know that she's here and she's treated very well.
That was the Zimbabwe Aquatic Union President, Mary Kloppers, in Harare.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions about Mrs. Joyce Mujuru's moves, which are being believed or perceived by many to be a move to get into politics and forming a political party.
And to join our discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back in our studios.
Lastly, in our mailbag, one listener writes, "Good people, how are you? I hope I find you well. My name is Obed Zindoga. I think you can help me find my little brother whom I lost contact with in 1999. His name is Willard Zindoga, and I last heard that you are staying in Bikita in the Mateza area with his uncle and aunt, who later moved to Chegutu during the land redistribution exercise. Ever since, I've never heard about him. Please help me to find him. My contact details are 0776-222-785. That number again, 0776-222-785. And he's in Harare.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
The International Monetary Fund completes its second review of Zimbabwe's staff monitored program.
And Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition says gains made during the inclusive government era are fast being eroded as the government struggles to get a grip on the economy.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.